Mike.
What?
Well,
you want to hear about my Friday night?
Yeah.
My Friday night in New York?
Yeah.
Alone?
Yeah.
By myself?
Yeah.
Well, I had a Friday night alone by myself. You know, I was, you know, we stayed in town an extra day, and I looked at it as an opportunity to finish the apartment in our building that we live in together. And
right, neighbor.
As Rob and Buzz and Lisa will tell you, there was some stuff that I had gotten that was going to arrive. And incidentally, I need feng shui advice again because things are not working as well as they should be.
Got it.
But I had a bunch of stuff coming from the furniture store to get into the apartment. And fortunately, great thing about New York, you can order something and you come home from work and there it is.
Right.
And the thing, to my surprise, I thought I was going to be putting furniture together all night, and they had actually put together this bookcase and put together this nice little table that I bought, and they were all completed.
Wonderful.
So, and the other thing I bought was just a leather recliner, and so I had it sitting there. What? Share right. F you guys. F you guys. You guys are going to make me cry now.
You know what?
This is really going to bang me up, I swear to God.
Don't blame me.
Yes, this is Rob who did this.
I'm making eye contact with you listening to the story.
No, and you called me on Saturday and said, I'm just calling to see how you're doing.
I did place a call to Mike on Saturday for no reason. Just say, I'm just checking up to make sure you're doing okay.
And you can't play this song without getting to the hook. I understand this. So, when Rob gets that particular song out, we have to go all the way to the funny part. Which is, unfortunately, Rob, the part that kills me. Very much a drag. So I was home in my apartment, and I was happy about the little things like the minute put together my table. So I'm sitting there, and they put together the stuff, and I realized that I'm hanging out on my couch, and I said, I nodded out a little bit because, we were all tired on Friday, and then I woke up, and I said, what are you doing?
Well, now he's got a better one.
I'm done.
No, I'm doomed.
These two evil F's get together.
This one is a...
I am all right. Thank you, Rob.
Uplifting.
Kind of day it is for me. That actually helps.
Good.
You're all right, Mike.
Thank you. So I wake up probably at about 6 o'clock or so, and I'm wide awake, and I've gotten all the stuff done that I needed to do. So I say, why not just head down to the Great White Way and take in a show? This is something, as all you know, I have done before. And I go down to that area in Times Square where all the tourists go, where they sell tickets. And that whole environment, it didn't do it for me. There's something I thought that was a little, weird about it, that it was kind of shady, that they're kind of hustling, and you're not going to get the best seats. And somebody had told me a long time ago that if you're looking for a single ticket, you want to go to a show, you just walk up to the box office and you say, do you have any singles?
Yeah.
Will you do that? And I guess it's about 6:30 when I do this. And I walk in and I got a ticket to a show.
Mm. And the show was?
Well, the show was something that, people had told me that I should go. My mother-in-law had told me this. My mom had told me this.
The producers?
No, I gave the producers impossible ticket to get.
Yeah.
Still very difficult, even a single same day, especially on a Friday night. You're not going to get a ticket to the producers. But this is a show that I would not have necessarily picked first, but it was all about where I was, the street that I was on, and I just picked one at random and kind of walked down. And I'll see if I see something, looks good. I'll duck in there. And, it was not like I had any plans, so I figured I'll go see this show because it's so popular and it's run for so long. And I just don't want anybody to think anything about me here, but it's a show that I thought I'd check out because just a pure sheer curiosity about how popular this has been and it's run for years, I went to see Les Miserables.
I've never seen it.
But no, it's very popular. It's run all over the country, and it's on Broadway. And I go behind this other lonely single lady who is getting a single ticket for herself. And I get up to the window, and it's one of those deals where, you know how Buzz says... Naturally? Buzz says, naturally. I get into this theater. There's nobody in this box office area except one lady. And I'm looking for the best seat they have, the best single ticket. And the lady in front of me goes, what's the best single ticket you have? And I'm like, you know, even this is going to get effed up. But to my surprise, even though this is a happy moment for me with this music, turn it off. Stop it. I went up there and I said, do you have a single ticket for Les Miserables? And he said, we've got a fantastic single ticket for this show. And so I bought it and went across the street and where there happened to be an Irish bar. And I was making a lot of phone calls and sitting there enjoying a nice little Irish whiskey in the window, watching people walk by. And I said, you know, if you're going to be solo flying, yeah, I got a ticket to this show. I'm wide awake. Things are going very well. If you're going to be in these circumstances, I would say that I was extremely content. As content as a man can be in that circumstance. That moment that I received a call from on your phone, thank God I was on the phone with somebody else, and so I got a call from you, called you back, got the wonderful Rue McClanahan news that you were dining, and you know, that's why when I informed you, got into the theater, and not only did I have a seventh row, which is a pretty damn good orchestra ticket for Broadway, I was on the aisle, and that brought me great joy, because, yeah. I mean, that was the happiest I was all Friday. The lady sits me down and goes, here's your ticket. I said, the aisle? And I think my reaction was a little gay, too, because I think when she said that I was on the aisle seat, I went, oh! I was so happy. And it's 8 o'clock. You know, showtime's 8 o'clock. I guess they start about 8:04. So at 8 o'clock, I'm looking, and there are two seats next to me wide open. And I'm like, this is so good. Because, you know, those little Broadway theaters, kind of, you know, you're packed in there. And I'm like, this could not be better. It's 8:02. I take the coat off. I lay the coat over the seat. I'm like, this is fantastic. The lights begin to go down. And as the lights are coming down, the show's to start, I have both arms up on the seats. I am so comfortable. And, you know, even if it's a bad show and I'm not enjoying it, I'm going to stay. And that's when it all turned to S. That's when the waddling, stinking F's arrived. The people who ruined the play for me because of everything. Not only arriving at 4 minutes after 8 o'clock, when the show was starting. You know, if you're going to really, you're going to see, what's the best part of any live performance of any kind? It's like the first 10 minutes. Sure. That's what you want to see. So this guy comes in with his, I'm being conservative. I would estimate the wife's weight to be conservatively, and I am not exaggerating, probably somewhere between 250 and 260 pounds. And she's about 5'1". He, I would estimate to be between 280 and 300 pounds, and he had some sort of infirmity where he couldn't move quickly, and he comes into the theater, and he's sitting down in the seat, and this is how he sits down. He comes by me like this.
Ass to you?
And it's not like he's fat and he's doing this. He has some problem. Really? It looked like maybe there was a hemorrhoid issue.
Oh.
He was not, or a lower back disturbance, so you're sitting down, and he's, well, I'm out in the aisle. I'm such a small guy. You know, I'm 5'11 and a half, and I crouched down because this process, these people aren't just coming in and sitting down. This is taking an inordinate amount of time. The guy is leaning back like this, and he is having trouble sitting down. He has to sit down with the fold-up chair. He has to put his ass on the fold-up chair and sit and then begin this slide down. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the F is your problem? I mean, he's obviously in some sort of distress, and he sits down in here, and when he sits down, he goes, oh. And when he does that, rotted teeth, provolone cheese, whatever he had ingested, comes over to me, and I'm like, okay, so I get the real fat guy next to me. I am sitting, I am sitting on one half of my chair. That, thank God it's an aisle seat, because I am hanging most of my body out into the aisle for the duration of the show.
Poor man.
And I sit down and I'm like, you know, the whole thing about the show is starting, and I'm but these people are huge. He smells already.
And are they the typically large Broadway seats?
They are. You know, it wasn't bad. The seats weren't really that
okay,
bad.
Okay,
so,
well,
so it was fine from that standpoint. Yeah. But I'm sitting there next to this guy, and the show starts. They get seated, and we get, I would say, halfway into the first act. Long first act. You hear the ushers saying that. It's an hour and a half. If you have to use the facilities, use the facilities now. We get an hour and a half into this show.
Torture to me.
It's all music. It's not. There's no dialogue at all. It's a complete musical. I mean, from start to finish. And I'm watching this thing, and you know, I'm enjoying it. It's actually not a bad musical. And during the quiet moment, where, you know, a particular song, a very sad song will be sung, where it's very, very soft, I hear, this is what I heard, because at first I'm not sure what I hear, but I hear. And I don't think anything of it. I kind of look over, but it's dark, and I can't really see this guy that well. Show goes on, there's a break, you know, we take a little intermission, and I go to the back of the theater where they have a bar. And it's a very long line, but it's moving very quickly. And I'm like, you know, this guy, you know, I want to enjoy it. I'm going to have myself a little toddy in between the first and second act. Get up. There are three people in front of me at this bar. First person gets served, then there are two people. And at that moment, this bar is now closed. So this contributes to what is not the greatest experience. Go back down for the second act. That's when there's a lot of this really soft music, tender music, quiet theater. And at this point, I think it's the lead male character is singing this very, very sad song, very quiet song, and I hear this next to me.
I can't fault the guy for falling asleep during that fag show.
And with the falling asleep, not only am I getting that, but I am getting the steady current of bad breath that is shooting across. And the man in front of me, every time he does it, because when I hear it, the guy in front of me hears it, and every time he does it, the guy turns around and gives him one of these. So it's a combination of the guy next to me, I'm somehow feeling, because I've got a solo ticket, that people are finding me in some remote way responsible for this app that's sitting there. And then I feel, on the back of my neck, I feel a scarf touch the back of my neck, kind of flick the back of my neck. And the show goes on a little bit. I hear the guy in front of me turns around and goes like that. And I feel on the back of my neck, again, the flick of a scarf. And once again, this guy is like in and out because he'll wake up. At one point, there was a funny moment. The guy laughs and then goes back to sleep again. And he the last time we get this, third time, guy in front of me turns around and goes, the look. I don't know what he's going to do. Right. But he turns around, he looks at the guy, he knows the guy, and I feel the flick of the scarf. And I look around, and it occurs to me, as I look and we make eye contact with the ass woman in back of me, that she thinks I'm the one that's sleeping. For what reason, I don't know. She thinks all along. And I have been being flicked with a scarf, although I am completely conscious in the theater. She thinks I'm the one that's doing this.
Flicked with a scarf.
I am so pissed because I'm like, I want to stand up and go, excuse me, but the man with the big ass and the breath is sitting here. He is the one who has been sleeping for the entire show. And I the show ended. I enjoyed it, but I was very anxious to get out of there, and I went home and went to sleep in my apartment.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Thank you.
Hey, Radio Goddesses.
Hi.
How you doing? Hey, Mike, first of all, do you realize you just spent an entire night watching a play about a guy who chases down a bread thief for the rest of his life? Good job.
Yeah, I know. It was a pretty depressing show. I mean, it, you don't get a more... Let me tell you, if I was looking for uplifting, something to, like, put me out of this spiral, it was probably not the best thing. It's a very, very depressing show.
Wrong play.
Tremendous amount of death.
Don, keep your finger on the fag button. For Valentine's Day, I just took my wife to see Barry Manilow Friday night.
Oh, and, my God.
It gets worse. We're going to go see B. Arthur in a couple of weeks, so double fag.
But, now, that's a show. That's a show that was, like, right on the same street.
That's a show you should have gone to see.
No. Somewhere. Oh, F, no. I mean, I couldn't stand that.
That would have been fun.
No. Oh, not by yourself. You want to go see a show with B. Arthur, you have to have a friend with you.
Join us next Monday with, once again, Mike. We'll talk about his weekend. Wait a little while from now. I'm not feeling any less sound.
I had a very nice family day. Had the family all together. It's not all. I don't want to portray this picture of me standing on the street corner. I had a very nice family day with my wife and my daughter. Had a very good time. My other daughter went to the aquarium, so we took my oldest out. It was very nice. And there will be many days like that. Thank you very much. When you hear me talk like this, you know it's real bad. You know it's sad. Stop it. Don't give me. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Naturally.
Yeah. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing today?
Hey, we're doing great.
Hey, man, you need to add a couple of more sisters to that rating of the women's list.
The rating of the women's list? Oh, we're going to be doing that soon. You ask us about that and when we're doing that.
All right, and also, hey, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't mean to be, you know, a damp or anything.
You like go that. Ahead, sir. You let it all hang out.
To me, because I'm going almost to the same thing that you are,
uh-huh.
The only woman in your life that you should be upset over of anything is your mother.
Really?
For wives come and go. You only get one mom, so anything else, just let it flow and don't even let that get you down.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's true. And
you know what?
Your mom is great, Mike.
Called my mom before the Broadway show. Called her the next morning. Told her how great it was.
Hello, Donna Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Donna Mike.
Is this me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
I believe it is you.
Great. How are you doing, Donna Mike?
Okay.
All right, great. I was just listening to your conversation. Man, now we know the side effects of Paxil. Man, Mike, I tell you, that story almost made me feel a little gay listening to you. You were looking at a great, you know, great show, and here you are talking to us about this 250-pound guy.
Mm.
Come on, I pay attention to details, but you look
You missed it, my friend. Sorry, you're out.
Was he saying that I got overly upset at the guy that was,
I don't think he knows what he was
saying. Snoring?
Hello, Donna Mike show.
O'Mara.
Yes, sir.
I love you.
Oh, stop it. Just go away.
I'll see you tonight at West.
It's a support call, I think, Mike.
I know who it is. Call. I recognize the voice.
Who is it?
I don't think we need to go into that. It's a guy who's helping me through some stuff right now.
All right. Goodbye.
I'll see you tonight at the club.
Bye-bye. Who used to say
Is there a specific deck? Is this all early 80s or?
This is all just Eric Carmen.
But I mean, when was he? It was the 70s or the 80s for him.
Late 70s, early 80s.
70s, early
80s. All of his songs are the same, like that he's all. I know we got a break, Lisa. He's all busted up in all of his songs.
Eric Carmen?
Yeah, this is the last one I'll leave you with, Mike.
I wonder if he's ever been to a Broadway play. I bet he has. I bet he's been on Broadway.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay.
Mike, I love you and all, but damn, you're pathetic.
Thank you.
What's the matter with you?
I'm going to do that, too. I'm a Renaissance man. I'll go to the Teats bar. Absolutely.
You just totally depressed me, man. Knock it off, damn it.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Have a good day, guys. Hey, Buzz, what's going on?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks.
See you later. Good day to you, sir. Incidentally, I don't know if you...
Toodaloo ass.
I don't know if you caught The Simpsons last night.
Yes.
You watch it?
No, I taped it. I didn't see it.
Very funny.
Check it out when they say good day to you.
That's right.
Really?
And then Homer says, I said good day.
There you see? They always pay attention to this show.
You tell me they're not tracking with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you've heard my weekend, which was, I'm sorry to say, Mike, pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice weekend. Mike's weekend, which was...
My weekend was actually good. I mean, I really, through all this stuff with the guy, I enjoyed the show, and I didn't think I would.
Someone didn't have a good weekend, and his name is Bobo. But we will hear about Rob Stewart's weekend.
Really?
Do you know what happened?
No.
Oh, great.
No.
I mean, not great, but
something really bad?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Oh.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, take it easy. You'll get a stomachache if you swallow it like that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WKFK. 1067. And from New York City on WNEW. 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Sorry about that. Didn't mean to go with the alone again naturally. It was still just loaded in the machine.
I liked it.
The writing is delicious.
Two screaming semen demons. Aye. Don and Mike.
Listen, this week on the show, oh, you're going to love this. Thursday, we're having our annual Valentine's Day show.
Right.
And this is planned out long before any events transpired with you.
What's going on?
Unless you have a problem, we're going to be involving couples who are divorcing.
No, I don't.
If you have a problem, I'll change it.
I have no problem with that. I am a professional. I have no problem with that whatsoever. You had said that, actually. You'd said that before.
A long time before.
You had actually mentioned that we were going to do that kind of show. So that's no problem.
Kind of the opposite of what we've done in previous years on Valentine's Day.
Didn't we have a show many, many moons ago where it was somehow involved in that, too?
We actually had a couple get divorced on the show.
Right, that's right.
We can talk more about it tomorrow. The thought is, what we like is a couple, and again, I swear to God, not based on you.
Right.
But a couple maybe that is almost finalized their divorce to come down together to be on the show. And the thought is that we would give the guy a lap dance in front of the woman.
Right.
And give the woman a lap dance in front of the guy.
Very good.
Just to see if there's anything left or, you know, just for awkward moments.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a purely awkward moment and find out how they respond to it. I think that's interesting.
And we have $500 to give away also.
That's good. Ah. That's a good thing.
That we'll give to
the most awkward couple?
Yes.
Very good.
And that money is courtesy of Sprint PCS. Now you can save $150 on any new two Sprint PCS phones with a mail-in rebate. See your local Sprint store or SprintPCS.com for details. Sprint PCS. I want to tell you something. I just switched my phone to Sprint.
Yes?
It kicks ass. Kicks
has
ass.
A buzz. Haven't you had it for a while?
No,
not at all. Charlie Broyhill.
Charlie Broyhill is
the one that raves about
customer.
It.
Yeah, and we finally switched to it, and it's great.
I forgot to tell you one thing about my weekend.
Yes.
But I feel it's essential to tip in here, because it's the truth. I watched a movie on the train coming back home.
Yeah?
And I loved it, and I just thought I'd throw it out there. It's Moulin Rouge.
Hey.
Thank you.
And you
thank you
it.
Very much.
Hey.
Thank you. Now, wait a minute. Now, wait. Before you go that way, I want to tell you something. Nicole Kidman is turbo hot in it. But you know what? It's not because of that. It's just I thought it was a very, very...
Is it Ewan McGregor?
It was not Ewan McGregor either, although I do like his singing voice. I thought it was very cool the way they incorporated contemporary music into the show. I didn't know it was going to be like that.
You are turning gay.
I am not turning gay.
You are turning gay.
I am not. I enjoyed the movie.
You know what?
Thoroughly, and I didn't think I would.
Your new name is going to be whatever Charlie Stossel's old girlfriend's name used to be. You know, the one who...
Does anybody know if they're going to take that movie, Moulin Rouge, and turn it into a Broadway show? I thought I'd heard that they might be doing that. If anybody knows about that, please let me know first.
I'm sure,
because I will be first in line to get that ticket.
I'm sure you'll be able to find out tonight at Club Wet when you're surrounded by
that's true
by hot hunky homos.
If they do turn it into a musical for Broadway, I want to know because I want to be the first to get my single season ticket.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, you guys.
Hi there.
Okay, my name's Arielle. I'm calling from Jersey. This is a little bit, you know, past the time, but I wanted to tell you guys that I think it's kind of cool that you went to a Broadway show.
Do you really? Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Okay, I've got hair like Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Chase, I don't know. I'm cute.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the good words.
There you go.
Oh, all right. Mike, give me this. I look away with her. Away with her. Like the way a king would send away one of the subjects.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Oh, it was
toodaloo.
Toodaloo ask. Now, Rob.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Crime hits. Rob Spiewak.
Whoa, wait a minute. This is heavy duty stuff.
Yes, crime hits Rob Spiewak.
And imagine the festival of emotion. First, may I start by saying hello to all our friends at Union Station? And I'd like to say.
Hold on. First, I got a guy who's got a beef with you. How can a guy have a beef
with me?
You? Hey, Dave?
Yes.
What's your problem with Rob A?
Yeah.
I just don't like his comments. How he, every caller that calls in, he's got a smart remark to him.
Shut up, ass. All right, so anyway, Rob. So. Union Station, you know, Mike, you've got me hooked on the train. I love the train. I'm not faulting you at all.
No, I know. But
I will continue to use the train, but in a different capacity. Got off the train, had a lovely ride back on the Metro Liner, and got to my car. Getting to my car, the phone rings, and it's Don, and he says, "We're sitting with Rue McClanahan." And that was just terrific. Now we have a good joke about it, and I unlock my car, and I sit down, and I hang up with Don, and I look down, and I say, "Gosh, there's pieces of plastic on the floor of my car. I really need to straighten this car up."
Uh-oh.
And I put the key in my in the ignition, and I turn it, and it turns like a Lazy Susan. And it's at this point that I realize that my steering column is in pieces.
So I tried to
someone tried to hotwire my automobile.
Did they break the window?
No, and this is what baffled me.
So they got him with probably a Jimmy bar into the car and then tried to... No?
They took an electric or power drill of some sort and went through the lock cylinder of the passenger side. They drilled right through my door.
So you didn't have a lock left in the passenger side?
No.
Wow.
But if anything Rob loves, it's his goddamn Chevy Caprice.
You know, yes.
You know, really.
The eighth most stolen car in America.
Jesus Christ, with everything that's gone on, you would think that, you know what, they don't. They don't protect that place.
Nope.
They don't do it. It sucks.
I mean, just absolutely
DC,
like...
as far as, you know, the locations for airports, for security for people, we've talked about it all along. It sucks. They don't protect people.
Tickled to death to pay $18 a day to park in that secure location.
Mm, yeah.
So I go over to the emergency box, and I hit the button, and immediately a strobe light goes off. It's like I'm at Studio 54, and a voice says, "The emergency box has been activated from level 4 of the Union Station parking garage. The location is the call box on level 4 of the Union Station parking garage." And then a guy comes on and says, "Yes, hi, where are you at?"
You've got to understand Rob and this thing he's got with this car.
I love this car. This is the third Caprice in a series of Caprices.
Didn't you have another car where a rock was thrown through the window or something like that?
Yeah, I saved the rock. And there's something that titles back to that in a moment.
Okay. Now, and Rob likes this car because it looks like an undercover cop car.
Right.
It has the cop engine.
And it's got the big... one solid seat in the front seat. You know,
right.
I mean, doesn't have bucket
bench
seats.
Bench
seat. Right. I mean, I know you love this car. You love this car more than anything.
And I love this car perhaps the most of the three that I've owned because now they're no longer made.
That's right.
This is a really nice example, and I've taken very good care of it.
So we're at the moment of response time.
Right. And they say, "Where are you?" after they've already said it twice. I said, "I'm at level 4 of the Union Station parking garage. My car has been vandalized." He says, "Okay, wait there." No question as to how I am or anything.
No, it's garbage.
I say, "Well, I'll wait here then." And I'm waiting. And, you know, it's not too terribly warm or comfy or anything. And I'm just waiting for
him. What's the response time?
I would say about 4 or 5 minutes.
That sucks.
And they get up there, and his first question to me is, "Vandalized car?"
Was it a cop or a security person?
An
Amtrak cop.
He says, "How you doing?" I said, "I've been better." And we go over to my car, and we look again. He says, "Yep, they tried to hotwire your car. How'd they get in?" I said, "I don't know. I know I locked my car because I always double check." And I looked over and, yep, drill right through the lock cylinder. So no point in even locking the car now because the door is basically just hanging there. It can't even be shut, really. And they call. He said, "Do you have a tow service you use?" And I have, you know, I have a number that I keep in case. So I call up. They said, "Where are you at?" Again, fourth level of the Union Station parking garage. "That garage is too low. We can't get a tow truck in there." "Thank you. Sorry we can't help you." And the car cannot be started because the key won't turn the cylinder.
Because the guys have tried to jam.
Yeah, they've damaged the car beyond.
Right.
They've damaged your ignition by trying to break it in.
And I say, I ask the cop. I say, "Do you have a service that can tow here?" "Yep." "Can I have the number?" "Sure." Call them. They get there in about 35, 40 minutes or so.
Nice to know society's getting back to normal, though.
Yeah. And then while in the wait time for it to be picked up by the tow truck, I ask, "Are you all liable for this? Should I have my insurance company call you?" "No, we're not liable." I said, "Really?" And he looked at me and as if to say, "Oh," he said, "we'll comp your parking."
Hey. And, you know, they probably have some small worded, very small print
some sign,
sign as you're entering the garage saying, you know if your car is stolen, you're effed.
Not well, you wouldn't be, no parking garage really would ever be liable for any. But I'll tell you something, that when you're talking about, one of the transportation centers of the nation's capital, and you talk about the amount of security that's been heightened, you don't have, they used to have, like, right after the stuff happened, there was a real police presence. I went into the men's room at Union Station when I got off the train.
Yes.
And there was some guy, I don't know, I would assume he maybe made the Union Station his home, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs in one of these booths as I am trying to enjoy my urination. And yes. I'll tell you this, it was incredible because there's stuff all over the floor. This guy is screaming. There isn't a cop. There isn't a security person anywhere, and you know what? They have just bagged it at Union Station.
Sure, which is why they call it the civilized way to travel.
Yeah.
So we get there, and the
trains are fine, as you know.
Yeah,
you like
right,
the train, but I mean,
marvelous.
I don't like, and I'll tell you, Penn Station, you can't walk 2 inches without seeing a cop. I mean,
they take it seriously up there.
They do.
And
they don't take it seriously in the nation's cap. They don't. It sucks.
But what I mean, with the heightened importance put on train travel after 9/11, you think they'd be trying a little harder?
Mm-hmm.
Than
tell them what happens when Cletus finally shows up. The tow truck.
So Cletus shows up, and he's got that thing going on when a guy gets older. Either their head shrink or their glasses get bigger. He's got the world's biggest. They look like dinner plates in my
right.
And he goes over to my car and he looks at it and he says, "Yeah, give me your thing." I said, "What?" Well, the thing. What are you saying? The keys. He says, "Here's your problem. You can't start this car with that key. Got a click, click, click chip in it." And I said, "Oh, and I'd forgotten. GM cars, and I think you have it too, have like a chip in the car, even if you hotwire it,
chip.
Won't start." So he puts the key in and jams a screwdriver halfway down my steering column in the car, lights up like King's Dominion.
Wow.
And it's running now.
Wow.
And he says, "Well, it's your call now. You can either drive it home or I'll tow it in." And I said, "Well, I don't know how to start it with a screwdriver, so you'd best tow it in." He takes the screwdriver and the key out. The car is still running. It's just sitting there running. And he said, "That's why these were amateurs. They knew that you can't start this car, no key." And I said, "Well, they probably should have looked in the glove box where I have my keys. I have a spare set of keys in the glove compartment. They left the stereo. There's $10 in quarters in my dashboard."
Don't they also, on that level of the parking garage at Union Station, have the signs that say, "This area patrolled
by video surveillance and regular, on
every level it says that.
And you know what? They do patrol it, too. I have seen security patrols up there in the cars, but man, it's amazing that would happen.
They're doing a great job. As a matter of fact, one of the helpful pieces of advice the cop did tell me when he was filling out my reports is, fourth attempt this week.
Really?
Well, that's
now
great.
You know.
At least I still have my car.
So, Rob, so I'm talking to Rob about this. He says the guy who finally gets his car going says to Rob, "You can drive it home,
or
we can tow it." Rob says, "Well, what happens when I drive it?" Now, keep in mind, the guy's taking the key and
the screwdriver.
And the screwdriver out, the car's still running. So Rob's question is, "Well, let's say I drive the car home. How do I get the car to turn on?"
All you did is your screwdriver. I said, "Okay, how about you turn the car with the screwdriver?" And told him, I said, "No, this is sort of hard. Why don't you drive it out, and we'll get on the corner of North Capitol and H Street. It'd be easier to hook up there." I said, "Great." So I'm driving the car down, and the whole, you know what, the turn signal, windshield wiper, cruise control, everything is controlled by this, like, bar that shoves off your steering wheel.
I'm surprised he wants to move you out into Dodge City.
Yeah.
So I would become
suspicious
at that when you have a parking garage where you would be able to back the car out.
Well, there were cars on either side, so it would have been a hard hookup, I know, but still, at this point, I'm overloaded, whatever. So we drive down, and guess what? They're not going to waive my parking. So you know how the parking...
I'd melt down. I'd break through the barricade.
Very close.
Right.
Now you know how the cars get lined up, like 60 deep?
They get backed up, way backed up at Union.
Yeah, if you
get out.
If you're not the first, you're screwed.
Wait in a line for a half hour.
Right.
And the tow truck is behind me, and the lady says, you know, whatever it is, like $62 or whatever. So I spoke to Mr. Blankety Blank or whatever. He said, "My parking is waived." "Why is that?" "Do you see my car, how it's been broken? They said they'd waive the parking." "Hold on, let me get my supervisor on the phone."
Oh.
So she calls her supervisor, which results in them handing the phone out of their booth to me in the car. hi, hello, this is Rob Spiewak. We spoke earlier. He says, yes, I remember about waiving your parking. I'll be right down. All you have to do is fill out a form.
Oh my God.
I said,
And I bet that's not pissing off the people behind you.
Unbelievable. I said, hey, here's something that let's consider. At any time, my car is going to turn itself off and there'll be no way to restart it. How about you fill out the form and waive my parking and I'll get through and you let the tow truck driver through as well. How does that sound? He says, well, okay, duh. So they let me through. And then they almost want to stop the tow truck driver, not realizing that he doesn't even have a parking ticket
because
he came up to get me.
Right.
All right. So we're finally out, and we get out to really, really a neighborhood that looks like you maybe wouldn't even want to send a hooker there because the hookers are scared of this neighborhood. Thank Christ my father called on my phone, and he was actually doing some business in D.C. He was able to come pick me up.
Good to have a family member.
Yeah, it was just absolute dumb luck.
Jeez.
So he gets to watch Cletus watch me fill up all the paperwork for dumb scratch movers or whatever this tow truck company is.
You know, you leave your car in an open parking lot. You leave your car on the street in any major city in the country.
You're inviting trouble.
You're not necessarily inviting it, but I mean, it's not going to be an unusual circumstance if something like that happens. You go into a secure parking lot that you have to pay premium dollar for.
It ain't cheap, pal.
You would expect that you know, whatever they're doing is wrong. Like, man, this is one where I'd love to be able to talk to somebody.
They finally got me hooked up and towed me out, and they're having it looked at, and thank Christ it's going to be covered by Comprehensive, and it won't even affect my insurance rates. But it was not the best time, and I wasn't pleased with the way it was handled.
Is it a quick fix to get your car back in shape?
I've still got to get the insurance estimate today. I think it'll probably be like a day and a half repair to begin. But hi to everyone at Union Station. Well handled, fellas.
This means you're not taking the train anymore?
I'll be cabbing to Union Station heretofore. And I've done the math, and you know what? With the money they charge for parking, it's about the same.
Okay. Joining us now, Rob, I don't know, do you remember the guy's name?
The officer or the tow truck guy?
The tow truck guy.
I don't remember his name.
Here we have him on the line now.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
This is the tow truck. Hi, tow truck operator.
Hi, how you doing?
What's happening?
Hey,
yeah, I fooled nobody with that.
It sounds a little too together to be my tow truck driver.
That's a tow truck guy.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes, you are.
How do you spell tow truck?
TOWTARK.
Perfect. Are you coming to Club Wet tonight?
If I can get a ride with you all, I can go.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Hey, Charlie. Yes.
I didn't expect Tom to show up because Wednesday's the night he normally goes out there.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, bye, Tom.
Bye.
All right, there he goes. Well, sorry your car was vandalized and nearly stolen.
Absolutely.
Don, you've been talking about the security at Union Station from almost the time
that's
of the
true,
tragedy.
That's true, because of the secret door, and they don't even...
They got a big problem down there. They got to take care of it. They got to improve it. I mean, if they casually say... Fourth time this week, there's some kind of breakdown.
They need
there.
To start patrolling the parking lots and no more coitus in the stairwells. I'm firm on that.
Man, oh man. I mean, you know, they talk about New York being a big, you know, bad city and a dangerous city and stuff. But I'll tell you something, it's just, they could take some lessons just the way they handle things in Union Station compared to Penn Station.
Absolutely. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Oh, and Union Station prominently featured incidentally in the Arnold movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello?
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Gabe, the guy that calls for Buzz all the time.
Oh, hi, Gabe.
Hi, Gabe.
How's it going, Buzz?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I've really liked listening to you lately.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You've been doing a great job.
And I've enjoyed your listening.
Well, thank you. And Mike.
Yes.
You haven't seen Moulin Rouge till you've seen it on Ecstasy. Talk to Buzz.
Thank you.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I would imagine.
Thank you, my friend.
Any type of narcotic.
Mushrooms.
The Moulin Rouge is a movie that is edited and photographed and mixed in a way that I've never seen before in any music video or anything.
You think it would be better than that Mickey Mouse movie we saw, Buzz?
The Fantasia?
Yeah.
I've made a note of it, sure.
Hello.
I've seen Fantasia. It would be better.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
Hi. I'm here to back up the show. I called about, Mike's theater debacle.
You're here to back up the show?
Yes.
We're trying to move the show forward, sir.
Well, I could talk about what you're talking about right now. The only way, you know, Rob got about all he's going to get out of them. The only way you can, this is from experience, is protect your belongings is you got to get, they have to take the keys and you got to get a ticket, you know, and then you've got them.
What is he talking about?
When you check your code, it's when...
Yeah.
I know it's Monday. What, Robbie?
That was the owner of Union Station, Johnny Union.
Listen, I know it's Monday, and it's not Wednesday, but we're going to get out our copy of Feelings.
Okay.
Now, hold on. Don't give it to Mike in advance.
All right. Okay.
We're going to read an article from yesterday's Washington Post magazine.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the disc jockey, Glenn Hollis.
I have heard Glenn Hollis many, many times, and his show is, I think, at best, nauseating.
Yes.
And, at worst, a joke.
Now, it is not jealousy.
Hi, how are you?
Trust me, it's not jealousy that we've been doing a show for 16 years and we've never gotten written up. Right. It's not jealousy.
Okay.
It's the fact that this guy.
Too much this guy.
Here's the bit. Rob, just pull out any sappy record.
You got it.
Here's the bit. Right here. I'll give you the bit. Mike, you want to hold on.
It is best if somebody's on the phone.
Hold on a second. Give me a second here. Hold on a second.
Are you going to be Glenn Hollis or the car?
I'll be Glenn Hollis.
Okay. Let me see. Come on, there you go. Line 4.
Down to Mike.
Oh. Hi, DA.
Hi.
Is somebody on 4?
Put it on hold, please.
Okay.
Now, let me see. All right, pick it up, Mike. Let me see.
Hi, Glenn.
Okay, hold on. Okay. First, and the first thing you got to know is that he's also got...
What's the name of the show?
After Hours. And they have, like, these dumb jingles that go, After Hours on Wash FM.
With Glenn Hollis.
Hi, everybody. It's Glenn Hollis with you on a Monday night. Really, it's how the guy
sounds. I'm sorry. I had something in my throat, Glenn.
Glenn Hollis, are you going to be a man or a woman?
You know what? I want to go falsetto because my regular voice does not sound like your average caller. I'm going to be a woman because he deals with women much more effectively than men.
And don't forget all his sayings, all his pithy pieces of advice and his cards.
Hello, Glenn.
After Hours on Wash FM, this is Glenn Hollis. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Glenn, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen, how are you?
I just want to first say I love your show, and I think I love After Hours. I was wondering if there's a chance that you could do something for me.
Of course, a special song for a special someone?
Oh, no, I thought you'd take your fist.
No, I'll start again. I'm sorry, here we go.
Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
Is this Glenn Hollis?
Wash FM After Hours. This is Glenn Hollis.
Oh, Glenn, I'm such a big fan of your show. We listen down here at the Burger King all the time, and especially when it gets late at night. I've been kind of sad because I haven't been with my boyfriend in a while, and your show really cheers me up.
Tell me something. What's his name?
His name is Samuel.
Samuel.
Would you play something for him?
I've got something right now to remember. Love is eternal. Scorn is temporary.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
Love you.
He gets the rednecks, too.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get into the record.
Hi, Glenn.
Hold on. After Hours. Oh, hello, Wash FM.
Is this Glenn?
This is Glenn. Hi, who's this?
My name is Nathaniel.
Hi, Nathaniel. How can I help you tonight?
Yeah, Glenn, me and the missus are celebrating our 74th wedding anniversary, and we'd like to hear something special. It doesn't have to be anything in particular, but I sure do love her a lot, and I was wondering if there's not that chance you could play something that had a picture of him on the back of the magazine.
I've got it for you here.
Thank you very much.
And remember, to love is to receive a glimpse of heaven.
I just want to say, me and the folks down at the pig farm really love you, Glenn Hollis.
Love you.
Hello, it's me.
He gets foreigners too, Don.
All right, hold on.
He does. I mean, I'm telling the truth. He does.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Little samples of the show.
Give me a second.
The Glenn Hollis show.
Mine's a bad one.
Yeah, hold on, I got one here. Hold on.
Excuse me.
That's quite all right.
Wash FM. Hello, Wash FM.
Hello, is this Frank M?
Yes, hi, this is Glenn. Good evening. Who's this?
Jarir.
Jarir. Hi, Jarir.
Jarir. J-A-R-E-E-R.
Jarir, my apologies. Welcome to After Hours on Wash FM.
I love your show, game. Could you play something that has a sweetie romance for us? Me and my husband, Galer.
I'd be glad to. And don't forget, what was your name again?
My name is Jarir.
Love is not our choice, but our fate. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood that drown us.
Wow. Send you some Korean kumin.
Which one, Rob? Number two.
Okay, all right, one more.
Okay.
After Hours, Wash FM. Hi, this is Glenn. Oh, and Israel, you got to know this guy's whole rabbi. He's a big, giant, fat guy. And in his studio, he has, like, candles everywhere.
Well, for atmosphere.
It's totally dark except for candles.
Sure.
And he'll say that on the air. I'm here at the Wash Studios right now, surrounded by candles, a little incense going, and let's go to the phones, the after-hour phones. Hello, Wash.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
I just want to say I love your show. You hear so many shows on the radio, but yours is just so much more special than the other shows. And I wanted to thank you for doing that. It's a wonderful show.
I think I recognize. Let me see. Is this Craig Wilson from USA Today?
Yeah, this is Craig Wilson. I love your show. I listen to it all the time. The music is so nice, but more importantly, what you say is nice, too.
Who would you like to dedicate a song to tonight?
Frankly, I'm just kind of feeling alone, and I'd like to dedicate it to my partner, Jack, and my dog, Murphy. And it's kind of a sad night for us in the Wilson household.
Why?
Well, you see, Glenn, I'm dying.
Wow.
So anyway, you
Bye, Glenn.
Bye. Oh, goodbye, Mike. So you get the gist of this guy's show. That this guy basically he does this show where dum-dums call up and they make their love requests and dedications.
Right.
And the guy gets a freaking 3-page article on him.
He is so on top of the microphone when he's doing this. He's so totally close to the microphone that it sounds like that.
Glenn Hall. Glenn Hall is on. You know, hey, Rob, give me the harmonizer a little bit.
Okay, hold on.
Just give me a little bit of that right now. See if you can do that. I know we're up on a break, but let's just
see. Wait, you want to echo or make your voice lower?
Just make it a little lower. A little bit.
We're playing with our new toy. Working the radio magic. Playing with our new used
terminal. You know, I use it on Pete Moss and Les Humans.
Okay. Very good.
Right. So but you're right. This is Glenn Hollis. This is After Hours.
That's how close he is.
On Wash FM at the Good Looking Monday Night. Are you alone tonight? I'm here for you. With your requests and your dedications.
Glenn Hollis.
All the way up until midnight. On Wash FM.
So they profile the guy.
I'm a useless tool. I'm a douche. However, I have a full-page article on me in the Washington Post magazine.
Wow. That's something Don and Mike have never gotten.
And look at the picture of me. Look at the picture of me.
Just all our listeners say the craziest things about love.
I love my listeners.
So let's get out the Craig Wilson music.
All right.
Because I think we're gonna have to go with this.
Sure.
He maintains he's married, incidentally.
Very good. Okay. Good for him.
This guy Glenn Hollis from Wash FM.
I believe him.
So we will divulge in some of that, and we come right back. More show coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK. 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW. 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you.
We will be at Club Wet tonight. paying off our bet against the gay bowlers.
Oh, boy.
We'll be there at 8 o'clock tonight. Trust me. We'll be out the door at 8:30.
Oh, yeah.
Like Esther a goose.
It's the Don and Mike Show. Surprised you didn't know that.
If you want to come by and see us pay off our bet against the homo bowlers, please come by. Otherwise, we'll just give you the tape to recap on tomorrow's show.
We will have tape recorders in hand.
It's Alan, incidentally, in a great part of town.
Ah, well, I think we knew that already.
I don't know if you know how great the part of town is, though.
I'm pretty sure that it's great, like some of the venues we've actually worked at before.
Do you remember Half Street?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, down where Nation is, correct?
That's right.
That seems to be the district for that type of activity.
Lock your car, Rob.
That's it.
Yeah, Rob, you driving tonight?
Yeah.
You're carpooling with me, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to catch a ride with someone else. I can't take 2 days of that.
Listen, as I mentioned, the Valentine's Day show, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. We're asking couples who are going through divorces to come down and be on the show.
Very good.
We'll get more into detail on that tomorrow. One of the couples going through a divorce will win the $500 from Sprint.
Excellent. Employees not eligible.
Yes, absolutely.
Very good.
All right, so there's this disc jockey who does the show, the love dedication show. I mean, there are shows like this all over America. It's like the nighttime phenomenon for these AC stations, adult contemporary stations, where you have a faggy sounding guy who comes on and reads dedications and it's awful to listen to. And the guy gets an article about him in the freaking Washington Post, the Washington Post magazine. Love is in the airwaves. At Wash FM, Glenn Hollis gets lonely hearts through the night. By Arthur Allen.
Love is the beginning and end of all things. Someone once said that. And Glenn Hollis wrote it down on an index card.
It's all in the cards. To love is to receive a glimpse of heaven. Love is all you need. Love will find a way. Love is not our choice, but our fate. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it.
And so on. Love is Glenn Hollis's currency. But it is also a hard sell on this night in the fall of 2001. Out there in Radio Land, the vast expanse of commuters, shoppers, and lonely hearts stretches to the horizon below Hollis's sixth-floor Rockville studio. Emotions are running more to shock, panic, depression, and fear. Hollis, who has hosted a call-in dedication program called After Hour on Wash FM for 8 years, is finding this to be a most challenging week.
The problem, fundamentally, of tone. His love song show draws the late night lonely, the remorseful spouses, and all manner of men and women who take their private errands of the heart into the public airwaves.
Ooh, private.
But tonight, sentimental love threatens to tip over the brink into maudlin morosity. Something similar happens every year around Christmas, but obviously this is different. What Hollis calls the dead people dedications. What Hollis calls the dead people dedications are coming fast and furious. He has to weed them out. Too many calls for firefighters. Too many calls for cops.
I'm looking for interesting calls. But I try to make it not too depressing. I try to keep it upbeat, he says. Headphones in place.
As he looks at blinking lights of lost-track callers on his cell phone console.
Eventually, he settles into a love-of-a-lifetime groove. Vanessa asks Glenn to play Right Here Waiting for her boyfriend, Vern, who's in the Navy, training in Florida. A man named Preston needs How Do I Live for a woman whose husband worked at the Pentagon and got caught up in that. Jeannie called to say her husband is a diplomat on his way to Israel.
Then there's Kate.
Hollis guesses her story's real. Awkward as it is to broadcast such feelings. Anyway, this is a dedication show, and it's her call. Blah, 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 blah.
No, I'm ready. Just, you know.
My fiancé was on the 84th floor in the building in New York. I've resolved the idea he's not coming back, and I feel like his spirit's wherever I am. I look out the stars. I can see them so bright. There's one just climbing a false man for where I go. Could you play the song? From The Bodyguard by Whitney Houston. I think it's called I Will Always Love You. His name was John.
While the song plays, Hollis a youthful 38-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Rifles through his index card collection of inspirational thoughts.
Ah.
He's collected hundreds of poems and phrases.
Jack Handy.
Not only from the internet, he asserts with pride, but also from books.
He pulls out the ones that seem to fit tonight. And is in his mellifluous and soothing baritone, sprinkled them among the dedications, the music, the ads for laser surgery and Dodge minivans, and the White House admonishment of parents to guard their kids against drugs. Like this one. Be helpful, friends.
Nothing.
When clouds are dark and days are dark and dreary, be helpful. Even when the heart is sad, sick, and weary, be helpful. But it seems your plans are all opposed and thwarted. Go not upon life's battlefield despondent and faint-hearted.
In fall of 2001, these sentiments seem about right.
So what we're getting is the guy, he writes all this crap down and just, like, based on whatever the call is.
I had no idea before we started reading this, the total immersion in the exploitation of the tragedy, which is just so commonplace.
Let me see. Hold on a second. Dead cop. I got it right here on the card. And, now listen, I'm sorry. I'm getting too many dead cops and firefighters tonight. We gotta straighten this thing out.
Way to milk it, Glenn.
Thanks for sharing time with me.
Glenn says breathily.
I'm so glad we could be together. Just kind of hang out, feel better together. As we get back into our routines and move along the way we have, I'll tell you what I did tonight. I called up as many people as I knew and told them I loved them. Why don't you do that tonight?
With his homey sensibility, Hollis is like a radio shrink for the lovelorn. He listens and empathizes, never lectures or hectors, and doesn't reveal too much of himself. His voice is low-key, like the FM disc jockeys of the 1970s. It's warm with sweet highlights.
Christ.
Who the hell wrote this?
Sounds like he wrote it himself.
My God. A croon with a double scoop of quaver. And it somehow says to his listeners, it is never quite a mistake to have love. What the F is this that we're reading?
The show is a steady flow of pop love songs. Either soothing or treachy. Or treely. What is that word, Mike?
We're see. In between one sentence and three sentences.
Or tree. Or tearsly?
No, treacly. I don't know that word.
Turkly? Depending on your taste.
Where is it? The show is fun.
Either soothing or.
Treacly. What is treacly? What is that word?
Tearsly?
T-R-E-A-C-L-Y. I do not know that word. Is that a typo?
Feeling.
Let me see. Either soothing or treacly. Do you know that word?
Treacly, I think.
Treacly.
Depending on.
You don't know it either? We've got one of those quarter words, gentlemen.
But in between are what Hollis specializes in. The intimate conversations, just a few seconds long, really, in which callers talk about love's gone sour, or going strong, thanks. And thanks for a dedication to Mash.
I love him and miss him is the general sentiment.
Whether the beloved person is in Afghanistan in Falls Church working the night shift, or long ago drifted away.
Like Belinda's lost love. I had this wonderful man in my life, she tells Hollis this night. And I had a chance to call you with a dedication for last year, but I didn't. And unfortunately, I said some stupid things.
Like what, Belinda? He says, speaking quietly into his microphone. I found my Glenn Hollis voice.
I didn't believe he really cared about me, and I was so wrong.
I was so wrong. So now, you want to tell him what, Belinda?
Aging Mr. Herman.
Yes. I hope he believes in how much I love him, and he knows that I really tried. There's a catch in her voice.
Hollis segues into the appropriate, hard to say I'm sorry.
A Chicago.